And we're on the air.
Well, I am not singing this week.
Aw.
Sorry.
It's the 69th episode. You should sing.
Yeah. Extra not singing.
Celebration.
Yeah. So we have a show tonight, and I have to admit, I'm like having like, you know, that dream that you have sometimes where you're suddenly
the dream where you're naked.
No, not where well, you could be naked. It would make it even worse, but you're in school and you're in a class and all of a sudden you have an exam that you didn't know about and oh my God, what class is this? And I didn't study and it's terrible. I feel like that today.
I used to have that dream all the time when I was in college and I haven't had it since I graduated. So,
well, I'm having that dream right now because really I haven't paid attention to topics this week. I've kind of slacked off, and on top of it, it's just me and you tonight.
Yes. All the more reason we need people to call in.
Yeah, we need callers this week.
Otherwise, it's going to be the quiet introvert show.
I know. We don't have Jay and Weird to rely on. See, that's why the Squirrel Report is perfect. We have like two kind of quiet introverts, and then Jay and Weird.
Right.
Who aren't.
it's like whenever we, you know, whenever we run out of steam, we can always count on Jay and Weird to jump in with a hog or something.
Yeah. Just, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, this will be fun.
We have 17 people in the chat already. And I'm not kidding that we need callers this week. And I joked on Facebook this week that I was going to kind of guilt people into calling. But really, people, I'm going to say this once. It's a call-in show.
Yep.
You all are in there every week in the chat and having fun in the chat and saying things in the chat. And sometimes I see ideas and thoughts in the chat that I never hear on the show. We would love for you to call in. And even if you don't have anything related to the topic, just call in anyway and talk to us because.
Call in and say hi.
Call in and just.
You know what? We love. You know what we love to do? And everyone else loves it too. We like to hear your voice. And the reason we like to hear your voice is that from then on, anytime we read something that you write, we'll know, we'll read it in your voice. And everyone else will too. So that's fun.
Yeah, it is. Also, I don't know. I just think it makes it a better show. I mean, my God, I've been doing podcasts for how long now? Since Gun Nuts. I don't know, a long time.
It's been 4 years.
Yeah, and I've really noticed at least 4 years. Oh, my gosh. I've noticed that people have, it's like the same people who keep calling in and we have like a core group, but I would love to hear from new people. I'm sick of hearing you, Alan.
Oh. Speaking of calling in.
Hey.
We have a caller.
Is that enough haranguing? I think I was nice about it.
We have a pre music caller. It's New Jovian Thunderbolt, your number one
really?
Fan. I think
you should play the music over him.
He should be there, unless I've got the audio screwed up again.
Now?
Yeah, there you are.
Well, hello.
Good evening.
I called to flirt with one of my favorite people.
Alan.
Oh.
It's the kilt, isn't it?
I like that outfit you're wearing, Alan.
Alan, what are you wearing right now?
Air.
It's awful. It's awful hot in here, Alan. Why don't you take that shirt off for me?
Yeah.
Take it back to your.
It'd be awfully hard to take my shirt off since I'm not wearing one.
I like the way you always do the show naked.
Not always, but frequently.
So handsome.
Oh, anyway, before we scare off all the listeners.
Oh, I don't know. I think they're kind of titillated in the chat. They're very interested.
Yeah, new Jason Kerr says he likes new Jovian Thunderbolt's voice, and I gotta say, you really should.
I'm using my FM radio voice right now.
It's excellent.
It's very it's like 70s like easy listening kind of, you know, the soothing sound. There you go. See? Perfect.
I smell of Old Spice right now as well.
I think that's a thing.
It is a thing. The old scents are making a comeback. Now, if I could only find some High Karate.
Well, good.
You can't. I've been looking all over for it. They stopped making
it. High Karate and what was the Aqua Velva?
They still make Aqua Velva.
Yep. And you can still get Old Spice, although some argue the formula has changed.
The smell of Aqua Velva, bourbon, a little bit of Lucky Strikes means fine tobacco. That's a manly smell.
You're making Brita giggle.
Do you guys need to be alone? Because I can hang up.
Nope.
No, you can watch.
Okay.
Better if you watch.
Well, that's true.
Oh my God. Okay. What was our topic this evening?
I don't remember.
Do we have a topic?
Yeah, well, actually,
have a topic.
We do have topics, but I got to play the music first.
Awesome.
So please.
Let me.
T-Bolt's here for the music.
Yeah, let me regale you with the dulcet tones. Hey, look at that, everybody. It worked. It is Thursday, August 15th, 2013, and it's time for the score report. Woohoo.
Ooh, I do feel like an anchor from the 1970s.
I know. See? It's great, right?
Ron Burgundy's got nothing on me.
There you go.
I love scotch.
I am actually drinking absinthe mixed with Diet Coke this evening.
That sounds like it should be really horrible or really good. I don't know.
Well,
which.
Okay.
Didn't your mother warn you about absinthe?
I saw that Marco Kluse, the Munchkin Wrangler, if everybody doesn't know. I don't know. Google it. Anyway, Marco makes up his own cocktails, I think. I don't know. He's good at cocktails. Anyway, so I saw on his blog or on his Facebook recently that he, blog, Facebook, one or the other, was drinking absinthe and Diet Coke. And I thought, okay, I have absinthe and I like Diet Coke, but how would they go together? And he said it tastes like liquid licorice. And he is absolutely correct. It is wonderful. You have to really like licorice, but it's so good. I love licorice. I love that. You know, that licorice you get from Germany or Europe or wherever, and it has salt on it. I love that stuff. So this is delicious. Highly recommended.
Hey.
I know.
Somebody's calling me.
I'm afraid of that noise.
Somebody's calling me from Michigan.
What?
Somebody was calling my cell phone from Michigan.
No.
That's what it said.
That's not the call-in number.
Yeah, that's not the call-in number.
Tell them no.
I hung up.
Okay.
I'll call you on that phone a little bit later after the show, Alex.
Yeah, you do that.
Well, T-Bolt, we do have a topic this evening.
Actually, we do have a topic, and since you're on the East Coast,
yeah. Ask him the calling question.
Sweet love it.
No. This was actually kicked off by the video that went around. I don't know if everybody saw it. I'll put a link on later. But basically, you know, this happens all the time where the media goes to flyover country and tries to do a gotcha news thing on the, you know, they try to get the mother humping rednecks in flyover country to be all prejudicial and racist and stupid on the air so they can laugh at them in their East Coast, you know, newscasts. So the call-in topic is we want you to tell us how you surprised people by not fitting into their stereotypes of you. because you're like a gun owner and supposed to be all Mr. Conservative and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And
well, people normally expect me to be quite manly. But every now and then I like to knit. And I'm not ashamed to do it in public.
You giggle snorted within the first 10 minutes of the show. I think that's a record.
I know. It must be.
Awesome.
Okay, then.
I learned from Rosie Greer that it's all right to cry. Crying takes the mad out of you.
That's not true.
Oh, Rosie Greer would disagree with you, lady.
Okay. I'll fight her, too.
Rosie?
Her.
I don't know.
That's a guy.
Whatever. I'll fight him.
Hey, I've got MDev calling twice at the same time.
Awesome. He must really want to get in on this
he
show.
Must. It's a crisis. It's an emergency.
I've inspired him, I think.
Hey, thanks for calling, T-Bolt.
Thank you, T-Bolt.
Anytime.
All right. Bye. Oh, Lordy. Well, let's introduce our topic before we take calls because, you know, that
people
way...
Wait, before we go on, could you tell me who Rosie Greer is? Because I don't fucking know. I will fight dead Rosie Greer. I don't care.
Yeah, Rosie...
People are saying Rosie Greer is dead. I don't... Okay. Yeah. Go on. Tell me who he is.
He's Rosie Greer. Wasn't he like a football player or something? I think
don't make
was.
Me look it up.
Yeah, he was a football player.
Okay.
He used to do a lot of commercials. All I remember is commercials. I don't think I ever remember him seeing him play football. Not that I ever, you know, played football or watched it or anything. But he was a football player, and then he was in a lot of like B movies and TV, shitty TV shows and commercials and stuff like that.
Okay. So. Rosie Greer did Needlepoint. Okay. Hey, I don't judge.
That's right. So anyway,
yes,
this started, well, let's take MDev.
Take him. Don't make him wait. He always has to wait.
Hey, MDev. Hello, MDev.
No.
Hello?
Yes? No?
Okay. So anyway, there was a news thing. I don't know what you call it. It went the rounds of the Facebook, and it was all over the place. It was this hidden camera. This news crew from ABC went to Texas. It's actually a suburb of Dallas, and they had a waitress and a lesbian couple that had kids, and it was all a setup, and basically the waitress was all like, oh, y'all are horrible, and how dare you, don't you think they need those kids need a father, and blah 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 blah, you know, basically trying to do the thing, you know, you see this all the time where the media rolls in and, you know, like I said before, they try to do a gotcha on the mm-hmm. on the rednecks. And the funny thing about this is, you know, everybody was like, you're being rude, shut up and go away.
I know. Well, I thought that was really interesting. And I saw the video earlier this week, and I was kind of cheering for the manners in the South. Everybody in the South is so polite and minds their own business. And, you know, being from, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, we are so rude in Cleveland. I have to tell you that we are totally rude, and I noticed a huge difference when I was in Texas and when I was in Charlotte. There's a big difference in how people treat each other. There's a lot more emphasis on manners in the South.
Yes.
And it's just how people are raised. And I think, I don't know, I think the weather up here makes people angry. That's my theory.
Could be.
We're all angry because it's cold all the freaking time.
But you got to remember, in the South, politeness is kind of ingrained. You know, I mean, the people that absolutely hate each other will still be polite to each other in the South.
Bless her heart.
And you kind of, well, you kind of see that.
Right?
Yeah.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, isn't that precious? Yeah. Bless her heart. Yeah. Even in Congress, which, you know, is in Washington, which really in the South, but it's close. You know, they'll stand up there and go, my esteemed colleague would, you know, and they, you know, load the guy. So, you know, it's.
Right.
You know, man, but I thought it was funny in that video. It's not that people agreed or disagreed with the waitress. It's that they thought she was being rude.
Right. I know. And really, she was.
Yeah, absolutely she was. And frankly, any restaurant in Texas and probably in the South, if a waitress acted like that, she'd have been fired on the spot.
Right.
There's nobody would put up with that.
But I thought it was interesting at the end of the video, they did the same sort of experiment in New York City.
Yes, they did.
Which is, New York City is famed for people being rude. Being in New York City a couple times myself, I remember the very first time I went to, I was flying back from Ireland when I was 16, and I had just spent six weeks in Ireland, and I flew back into New York, and I wanted to exchange my money. And it was a simple process. I'm just exchanging my money. But I ended up in tears because I was tired. I had just come from Europe. I had just left my family. It was just like overwhelmed. And then I meet this New Yorker. And it was like a horrible experience. And
welcome to America, damn it.
Exactly. It was like that. I was like, it was just pretty traumatic. And all I was trying to do was get some American money so I could get something to eat, for God's sake. You know, it was horrible. And New Yorkers have that kind of, you know, claim to fame of being the rude New Yorker. So they did this same experiment in New York, and what was like, most of the people just didn't want to get involved.
Right. Or they ignored it or didn't care. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
I don't want to get involved in somebody else's business, you know.
Right.
I got stuff to do. But gosh, the one little Texan guy, he took the time to write a letter to the gay couple, and it was very sweet. There is a difference. And I think that more and more we're seeing, especially because of this administration, we're seeing this kind of, I don't want to say demonization of, well, almost it kind of is a demonization of conservatives and the South. And
yes.
I mean, do you feel that same way?
Sure.
Yeah.
Ooh, echo.
Oh, sorry.
No. Well, you know, this isn't the first time that the media has done this. There was the incident that I remember. I'll put the link in chat. Where NBC showed up at a NASCAR race with a bunch of Muslims trying to generate some, you know, some redneck anti-Muslim backlash that they could film, and it never happened. And
right. Because everybody pretty much minds their own business.
Yeah. So, and so the quote from Dateline, this is Dateline that did this, and it's like, Dateline is not planning a story about NASCAR. We are following up on a recent poll and other articles indicating an increase in anti-Muslim sentiment in the United States. So they came to NASCAR, figured, you know, oh, there's a bunch of rednecks, we'll get some good Muslim hate out of them. And people were like, you know, sit down, watch the race.
Well, you know, they have priorities, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we have a call.
Good.
From this is my buddy, the gun enthusiast, or your buddy, Excellent. The gun enthusiast.
He is also everybody's buddy.
Greetings, humans.
Greetings.
Hiya.
Greetings, introverts.
Hello. We're doing okay, I think.
Greetings, you East Coast whatever.
I got to tell you an introvert joke.
Oh, God.
Where I work with a ton of PhDs, real egghead types of guys, and they're all like Asperger introverts, right? And the joke goes, how can you tell an extrovert where we work? When he talks to you, he looks at your shoes.
Yeah, we're not that bad. We're
that's the only... introvert joke, I know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway,
tell us about your experience being, you know.
Read wrong completely?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Completely read wrong. Yeah.
This happens to me all the damn time. I've gone to the same church where I live for like 20 years, right? The thing is, this is a Unitarian church, and they're incredibly liberal, right? And they have no idea in their midst that I am there at all. And people that know me know that, well, I'm kind of conservative. Anyway, it's really funny because I have lots of friends there, and it's really funny. They say that I am the only one that's out.
Out, you know, as a not liberal?
Right. I'm the one. I have the shirt that has embroidered on the chest, token Republican, that I wear to church. Anyway, it's really funny because I'm the only one that will actually say out loud that I'm a member of the NRA, that I love guns, that I go hunting all the time, that, you know, I'm conservative, and that I didn't vote for Obama. And, you know, it's like where I go to church, it's like all the people there really assume that you are the exact same kind of thinker that they are.
That's a very liberal thing. They do that a lot.
And it cracks me up how far they'll go with that assumption with somebody and be completely wrong. And when they find out that, oh, my God, you're a member of the NRA, you're kidding me. And it's like, I know people that will never come to my house again.
Oh, yeah.
After they've been into my house and seen, you know, 20 different taxidermy things hanging on the wall, they'll never come here again. And it's really interesting that, you know, it's like, once the Facebook thing fired up, you know, all these people from my church that became my Facebook friends, and you know how I crack wise on Facebook about and people unfriend me like crazy once they find out my politics.
It's funny how the
I lost a half a dozen people just like during the Zimmerman trial, for fuck's sake.
you didn't want to be friends with them anyway.
And the other funny part about this whole dynamic, because I am very overt, you know, it's like, you know, people like turn to me, you know, and want me to have a, you know, share a discussion about conservatives and Unitarian Universalists and stuff like that. Well, anyway, there's a whole subset of the population that go to the church that every now and then we'll be standing around drinking coffee after church, and they'll come up to me and quietly say, "So, Marty, you want to go to the Grange?"
Oh!
And it's funny. The place is, like, full of closet conservatives because being right outside of D.C., there's a lot of former military and people that work for, you know, the government and stuff, and there is a ton of conservatives there that are always – staying under the radar and never bring it up. And I have taken so many of those people
because,
to the range.
Is it because of social pressure?
I don't know. Social pressure. I think that, you know, there's a big – you guys had mentioned being Southern polite.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain topics that are considered to not be polite.
Oh, interesting.
You know? And a lot of people just plain don't talk about controversial topics because, well, frankly, it'll cost you friendships.
Hmm.
And that is absolutely true. I know people that will never speak to me again just because they know that, you know, I didn't vote for Obama.
Okay.
And
bye-bye.
That's fine with me. I like it when they self-select. That's much easier for me. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And but it's really interesting when, you know, it's like for instance, there's this guy that I've gone to church with for years. I always presume that he's really, really incredibly liberal, and he's very quietly convinced me to take him and his teenage son skeet shooting because they want to try it. They've never done it before.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So it's really easy to make those mistakes. And in fact, the lessons that I've learned from that is to never really assume what somebody believes, you know, when you're speaking to them.
Right.
Because you never really know. And I see it happen around me all the time. I see that happen at work. I see it happen at, you know, in church or in social situations and stuff. And people make huge mistakes and just presume you think one way when mm-hmm. when you don't. You think the other way.
Well, it's like a black conservative, right? Everybody's surprised. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. You know, it's and it's funny in that way.
Yeah, and, it's numbers.
It's so
easy. You go through life and you have a number of experiences with a certain type of person, and they are a certain type of way, and you kind of make assumptions. You know,
right? And
then
the
all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, somebody knocks you out of your worldview, and it's surprising.
Yeah, it's what was really surprising is when, you know, I have made some really good friends there, friends that are incredibly liberal. And the thing is that when I sit down and talk to them, you know, without it becoming some diatribe on either side, you know, the common ground is way more evident than it is in politics today. It just, like, cracks me up how you know, suddenly people start screaming, racist!
Yeah.
You know, it's just yeah. like, I don't want to have this conversation because racism!
Right.
Well, you know, liberals are famous for being all about the diversity until you're not one of their approved diversities.
Right, right.
Right.
Especially the Unitarian Church, who they encourage diversity of thought.
What's funny? Think how many industries where people have to, if you're a conservative or libertarian or, you know, even lean that way, you have to. Basically, it's like, you know, these days in some circles, being gay is easier than being, you know, a conservative.
Yeah, often it really is.
And try being conservative in Hollywood or in academia or, you know, in certain
right.
parts of government, you know.
Well, it's the victim group. You know, we have the liberals have conveniently, you know, subsection us all out into special victim groups where they can, you know, offer us things to alleviate our victimhood. Right. So you can
right.
be the handicapped victim, or you can be the gay victim, or you can be the African-American victim or whatever. So it's, you know, it's divide and conquer, basically. Right. So.
Yep.
There you have it.
Somebody, I was listening to a Econ Talk podcast, and unfortunately, I can't remember the person who was being interviewed at the time, but he said basically there's three different languages. There's the liberal language, which is all about the oppressed versus the oppressor. Everything a liberal thinks of, all the speaking, all the theory in the liberal end is couched in terms of the oppressed versus the oppressor.
Right.
Conservatives, it's all about civilization versus the barbarians.
Okay.
And libertarian, it's all about the, you know, statist versus freedom. And they're saying the problem is that you can't have a conversation when you know, if you've got a liberal and a conservative trying to talk to each other, and the liberal's talking and listening in oppressed versus oppressor, and the conservative's talking in civilization versus barbarians, and the words may sound the same, but they're completely different.
Yeah, it's completely talking past each other.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. Definitely. I have seen that happen so many times. It's ridiculous.
And both sides think the other side's a complete fucking idiot.
Yep.
Of course.
Well, because they are.
Yeah, based on that worldview, yeah.
So. Well, I think 90% of most people are idiots.
Well, yeah.
You know, including myself most of the time. You know, I have little small moments of lucidity in my life, and the rest of the time I'm just a fucking idiot completely.
Yep.
At least I admit it.
Yeah, well. And there's
it's
no
easier that way.
There's no cure for that either.
Yeah.
Nah. No cure.
It's
that
just
you
life.
Want.
The problem is that too many people don't realize that and don't accept it about themselves and feel qualified to tell other people what to do.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people do realize that they're idiots, but they don't care.
Well, that's
I work
too.
With the public, and I think people, I really on a deep level, I think people know they're stupid. But they come to the library so I can fix it for them because they don't care enough to try not to be stupid. I mean, I have people who will go up to a vending machine and stand there and then hand me their money because they can't take, like, they can't make themselves figure out which slot to put the money in.
Damn.
Really? People are that dumb. And, you know, that's my job, to help them through their dumbness. You know, get them through life, shuffle them off to the next person who will help them through whatever interaction they need to have to survive.
Wow.
I'm...
Alan, weren't you talking this week at some point about IQ on Facebook?
Yes, I was.
Actually, you were.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, it's frightening to think that half the people that are voting in this country have IQs under 100.
Yes. And they yeah, all come to my library.
Yeah, it frightens me.
Yep. Hey, we got more callers. Thanks for calling in, though.
Cool.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
We do have callers. They're lining up.
I guess I guilted everybody enough.
Yeah, you did. Some of these cool. I know. Area code 704. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're okay.
Who is this?
This is Kelly. How are you?
Hey Kelly.
Kelly.
You made it in this week. Hey. I'm glad.
Yes, the telephone gods were not smiling on me last week. But I might be able to put a perspective on this. I was born and raised in North Carolina.
Okay.
A textile town and a tobacco town. So I moved down close to our version of Mordor, Charlotte, North Carolina.
I liked Charlotte. I've been there once. It's a very nice town.
Not so much, but
okay.
We'll say that for another conversation. So I'm in a next county over. The county I live in, the county seat, is a very small, barely qualifies for a city. But on the west end of the county is all the people avoiding the high taxes and et cetera, from Charlotte. So they move into the McMansions and do this, do that. On the eastern side of the county, you're lucky if you can get cable. Very agricultural.
Oh.
So, and I'm sort of sitting in the middle between all of this. And I was... raised in a private Southern Baptist private school. So the standard joke is, how can you tell the other Baptists? Well, they're the ones not waving back at you at the liquor store. Sorry, that's an old joke
yeah.
here. But, okay, yeah, I am a gun person. I'm getting ready to go teach concealed carry and new shooter classes this weekend. But I do that oh so much on the low. I've been here for 20-plus years. But I had a Fox News camera stuck in my face twice, end of last year, beginning of this year. There are a couple of things you don't need to see in HD. I'm thinking cheap porn and me. Because I watched that Fox News broadcast. I'm like going, oh, crap, dude. You should have shaved better.
No.
But the thing about that, no one at work, and it's pretty much a parallel of your previous caller, no one at work except my boss, because I legally have to tell them as a condition of employment I have a part-time job. So my boss knows that I go teach new shooters and I teach concealed carry. But once the camera got in my face, people at work that I don't even know are going, dude, I'm like, you know, after that aired. So that sort of forced, yeah, everybody knows. I mean, I don't have the keep honking, I'm reloading sticker on the back of my car.
Right.
You know, you can run into this house unless you go into the room. You're not going to see any guns. There's no American Rifleman and all this, that, and the other. But to come back to y'all's original, and I can say y'all, premise for the call-in, yes, we are extremely polite. We were taught that. I've had conflict or people that just melt down on the range or do whatever, and everybody after the fact tries to figure out what went wrong or do this, that, and the other. And all of us, all the instructors, and everybody goes, well, what's their name? Here's the tagline, sir or ma'am.
Yeah.
That was their name.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really can't fix any of that. But when I see people coming in for concealed carry that are, let's say, not from around here, it gets interesting.
Sure. It's like a culture clash, right?
Yeah. Well, in your face, why can't I do this? It's like you've lived here for, 8 months? You've came from whatever up, you know, north of the Mason-Dixon line, as I like to call it. No, it doesn't work this way. Just because you have one of these things on your hip, you know, not every problem is a gun problem, but these people are always, well, I would, you know, and I'd go to what if scenarios. And they're like, well, I would do this. And it's like,
right.
No, wrong. So I guess when you get down to it geographically, just as y'all commented before, New York City, Ohio, they're just totally different mindset.
Did you just say not every problem is a gun problem?
Not every problem is a gun problem.
That is so good. I'm going to steal that.
Oh, why, thank you so much.
I totally am. That is excellent and so true.
Well, these people think, okay, it is a state-mandated class. They have to spend 8 hours in the classroom with me.
Right.
Then they have to do a state qualification. These people think once they strap one of these things on, it's a talisman that will, number one, ward off all evil.
Right.
And then they think they've got the cape on, and they're doing everything for truth, justice, and the American way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. So, no, I show them the pepper spray. I show them the intermediate weapons. You know, do that. But the state doesn't require me to do that. The state requires me to tell them, here's the law. Here's the conditions that must be met. Have a nice life.
Right.
But I will find that the people that are from here, have lived here all their lives, are much more amenable to that. When I tell them not every problem is a gun problem.
Mm-hmm.
The people that have migrated here from, Buffalo, New York, Illinois.
Cleveland, Ohio.
They're like, we're going to shoot them. We're going to shoot them. Any scenario I put out, we're going to shoot them.
Okay. I think that the thing that you need to remind people of is, when you shoot somebody, there is a lengthy, just tell them about George Zimmerman, for crap's sake. I mean, there is a lengthy court process following that. Is it worth that?
I do all of that.
Yeah.
I just find the dichotomy between the two.
Mm-hmm.
The elderly couple has been here all their lives and just picked up the gun, you know, last month, went and bought one. versus people that are like, woo-hoo, I can go buy a gun. I live in the South. Let's go do this. It's an interesting dynamic in the classes.
Right. Well, that is an interesting point you bring up, where people think of the South and they think of guns.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately. It's like, it's, you know, it's connected somehow. I'm sure that the numbers are not that much greater in the South of gun owners versus the North. I don't know the numbers, but you get this stigma of being like, you're running around with guns and, you know, everybody's wearing camo, running around with guns and, you know, the crazy hillbilly kind of stereotype that you get in the South. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Have you ever had to deal with that sort of stereotype?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can go take you to a 3 hours from here, a operating moonshine still. So yeah, some of those stereotypes still exist, but okay, when I get the dichotomy between I watched this Fox News report and they interviewed me, they stuck a camera in a guy's face at an accidental discharge at a gun show in Raleigh, which is the state capital here. The guy's got this beat-up cowboy hat on, and his accent, southern accent, is worse than mine. Well, just all the gun go off and this one, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then these people, this Fox News crew immediately shows up and sticks a camera in my face while I'm doing a concealed carry class.
Right.
So, and I will say this, if you've not had a camera stuck in your face, that is a very humbling, very adrenaline dump thing.
I would imagine. I try to avoid it.
Yeah, I do too. But we also try to say we have nothing to hide here at this range. We're doing, you know, we're training people and we're, you know, law abiding and all that. So the range owners agreed, and so then boom, here's this big camera stuck in your face. So as opposed to the guy that was like, well, yeah, all shucks, I saw the gun go off, and I'm like, okay, the rules wasn't followed. Here's what, you know, went wrong, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But we both live in the same state.
Right.
The guy with the cowboy hat on with the bad accent. Me, I do have a master's degree. Of course, that and a buck and a half will get you a cup of, you know, soda out of the machine. don't worry about that so hard. But people underestimate. When I say I am from North Carolina and I've been, you know, around the world, they just immediately assume you're just a redneck. So
sure.
Did you get the gun at birth? Did you get the gun issued to you when you moved into the state at the state line? So these are things, you know, I wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
I just say yes.
I'm sorry.
I just say yes.
Yeah, he got the gun issued at birth.
And everybody in Texas has a cattle ranch and oil well. And, you know.
And the Cadillac with the big horns on the front.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Delay, hey, y'all are pulling off good. And actually, it was interesting to hear a new Jovian Thunderbolt in.
Yeah.
See, it's cool hearing people's voices, isn't it?
Well, I met him at a blog shoot in Nowhere, West Virginia, a couple of years back.
Cool.
So it was good to hear his voice. Y'all have a great evening.
Right.
I've taken enough of y'all's time.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool.
You know, I wanted to just briefly, as far as stereotypes go, I think that women in the gun culture, or not even in the gun culture, if you're a woman and you're not a liberal, people look at you funny.
Yep.
They're like, how could you be? You know, how could you be against women's rights and this whole thing, you know.
I think there's more of an assumption that women are liberal than there is about men. I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. People make assumptions about each other. And I think it's a natural thing, and human beings do this because biological, you know, we've evolved to be xenophobic.
Sure.
And the reason for that is because, you know, you're in your little tribe out in the jungle somewhere or whatever, and you have your little tribe and someone new shows up and you don't know who they are.
Kill them. Kill them with fire.
And they're dangerous. Oh my gosh, who is a stranger? You know, so we have this kind of xenophobic type of inclination. And so we kind of, you know, make these assumptions to be able to make these judgments easier.
Stranger danger.
You know what I mean? Like, stranger danger. So this guy looks creepy, or this guy is different, or this guy is from somewhere else. So it's easier to make this sort of assumption about people. Unfortunately, we live in a world where everybody is kind of more homogenous. You know, we're all in it together now.
Yep.
And people there, really, there is anything you can think of, any kind of combination of person, they exist. So.
Yeah, I get accused. People all the time think I'm a conservative, and I'm not.
Tell us how you're not.
Well, I'm not. I mean,
he protests.
Yeah. I'm not a conservative, damn it. Not a liberal, not a conservative. I'm not, you know, I'm a get off my damn yard. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure at this point you can even say what a conservative, I don't know that anybody can say what a conservative is. I mean, we know what a liberal is.
People make assumptions about conservatives too.
Right. Yeah, we know what a liberal is. We know what a voted for Obama, wants national health care, wants, you know, welfare, wants more government spending. I mean, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But I don't think you can point and say what a conservative wants, because first off, what the hell's a conservative? You know, they throw that label around, but these days, who knows what a conservative is? You know, the Republican Party's tearing itself apart.
You know,
you got the insiders and the Tea Partiers and the neocons and, you know, who knows what.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my experience, people assume conservatives are all born again Christians.
Well, that's true. And I'm not.
Yeah. And in my experience, they're not, you know. Honestly, in my experience, I used to be a liberal, and I want to preface this by saying that I was a liberal before I started paying attention. I was young and I was in college.
Well, yeah, you were young. And that's the whole thing.
And then 9/11 happened kind of at the same point that most people start paying attention to politics anyway. And 9/11 happened, and I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? And I started paying attention, and I can't say that I'm a conservative necessarily, because I don't really fit into that mold of what a conservative is. But in my experience, after I stopped being a liberal or whatever I was before, a non-paying attention American.
Uninformed American, yeah.
After that, and especially after I got onto the internet and started finding people who were like-minded, I have never experienced so much diversity. And that's the thing that is so ironic to me. They talk about diversity and all that stuff, but I've never experienced more diversity than after I changed my mindset. There is so much diversity in thought in this community, and so much, I mean, just racial diversity.
Yep.
Really. And sexual orientation diversity.
Yep.
And yet they try to pigeonhole us into this into this flyover country kind of
the cousin humping redneck flyover country.
It's really interesting to me. Yeah. Do we have any more callers?
We actually do, but there was, I wanted to say one more thing. There was a, there was an interesting comment in, it was talking about the token conservative in Colorado University.
Yes.
And they hired this guy to be like the conservative because the school is so liberal, and the president of the university thought, well, you know what, we need to put our money where their mouth is, and we're going to hire us a conservative. And apparently the professors were up in arms about this and really upset about it. And there was just a perfect quote from this guy, Oliver McBrien, and this was in the Washington Times. Oliver McBrien, a professor of computer science, said, researchers are people whose minds are very open to new ideas, which means they aren't conservative. Conservatives are more likely to prefer the status quo. Professors are more likely to be liberal oriented because they search for and are open to new ideas. And that was a liberal.
Interesting. Do they ever get out of the college campus, or?
I don't know. Apparently not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because as we all know, argue with a liberal,
yeah,
and try to get them off topic,
yeah,
or off their talking points, and no other idea even exists for them.
Oh, yeah. So let's take a call.
Whether it comes to climate change or gun control or whatever.
Yeah.
Caller.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is area code 508. Hello.
Hey, it's Artichoke.
Hey.
Woohoo.
Welcome.
How's it going?
The show. Good.
Thank you. For once, I'm not in an airport or somewhere else with crappy goose.
Yeah, I'm so glad. That was kind of a cool call, though, you moving through the airport, calling us.
Yeah, listening to it the next day was really funny.
I never do that.
I could hear Rita, and I could hear Jay, and I could hear about half of weird and nothing that Alan said.
Oh, well.
Huh. So,
bizarre.
Anyway.
On your flyover topic.
Yeah.
I have kind of a unique perspective on that. I lived in Alaska. I lived in just outside Boston, and now I live in Southern Virginia. As you can imagine, there's a little bit of difference in mindset there.
Right.
And so when I graduated from grad school and said, I'm going to get the hell out of Massachusetts, I'm going to go live somewhere where I can have whatever magazines I want, and gun laws are great, and I can go shooting whenever. Moved to Southern Virginia, and I went from having three ranges within 20 minutes drive of my house to one.
Oh.
Hello? I think he hung up.
Oops.
Or he muted himself. There he is.
Yep. So the difference in personality is huge, and not always what you're expecting.
From where to where? From
from anywhere. You move from supposedly liberal Boston North to friendly gun friendly South, and you find out there's gun laws may be better, but there's fewer people who are really actively engaged, and there's people may be friendlier, but less active.
Well, I think a lot of that is because when your rights are constrained, you may be a little more vocal about exercising them.
CJG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody in the South has grown up with guns, never been a problem. They've had them all their life. It's not that big a deal, so they don't have to worry about it. Whereas people around Boston, you know, if you go through the pain in the ass to get a license to actually own a gun and carry it someplace outside your house, damn it, you're going to go use it somewhere. Anyway, I guess we lost him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, well, we got another one.
Okay.
This area code 503. Hello.
Hey, this is KJ.
Hey, KJ.
Yeah, talking down the million-year-old phone line. But as for the call-in topic, I live in a somewhat odd part of the country for that, because I live to the west of where people go when they go over so-called flyover country. And everyone out here, you know, they've got well-groomed Wookiee suits.
Oh.
We've got a in the state Senate, we have a Democrat senator who votes no on every gun control bill that goes over her desk, because she knows if she votes yes, she's out.
Huh.
So this is possibly the one place in the country where politics works on the state level.
Well, there are quite a few Democrats in the House and the Senate that are death on gun control. For like you said, they know that if they vote yes, they'll lose their jobs next time.
Yeah, so it's really funny, because where I live, people don't open carry not because they're afraid of open carrying, but because it's a bad tactic when they can pay $80 and get their concealed carry. We just don't make an...
$80, that's cheap.
Yeah, and you can go across the river and get it for $52.50.
Oh, man!
Yeah, so I'm dual certified. I had to do that when I got my Quantum from Dennis.
Nice.
And I was unloading and showing clear at a stoplight because I kept driving across the bridge with my 1911 on the
ground. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
The third time, I decided, you know, I'm gonna make some time tomorrow, get that Washington concealed carry before I wind up in a Washington prison.
There you go.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too. And we got one more caller.
Okay.
This is from area code 843. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
Doing fine.
This is Ben.
Who?
Ben.
Ben. Oh, hi.
Ben.
Hey, I just want to go back, you know, talking about the gun ranges, you know, how few there are. I think part of that is here in the South is, we didn't need a special place to go shoot. For us, if we wanted to go shoot, we just walked out behind the house.
We didn't need
a special place to go to.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think, you know, I grew up, you know, when I got my first BB gun, shoot, I couldn't even fit the stock to my shoulder. I had to stick it under my armpit. But from the very first, you know, I was taught, you know, wasn't officially the four rules, but I was taught you don't point a gun at anyone, even a BB gun.
Yep.
And I had a cousin of mine who shot somebody one time, and I declare I felt sorry for him after his daddy got through with him.
Funny how well that works.
I think handguns wasn't really common when I was growing up, but I mean, we always had like a .22 rifle and a shotgun in the house, and they wasn't treated special. They wasn't locked up. They were in the gun cabinet, and you don't touch them when an adult ain't around, you know.
Yep. Yeah, that's how it was when I was growing up. I mean, I got my grandfather gave me a .22 rifle that I still have when I was 10 years old, and you know, we always had rifles on the wall, and, you know, whatever.
When you got your rifle when you were 10 years old, was there some sort of safety lecture that you got?
No, not really.
OK. okay.
I mean, other than just growing up and seeing, you know, watching how they were used, you know, don't be a dumbass.
Don't be a dumbass.
Yeah.
That is gun rule number one. Don't be a dumbass. Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So far, so
good. And I also got to agree with what you were saying earlier about how polite it's in the South, where, you know, even if you don't like someone, you wouldn't be rude to them, you know. You're going to be polite.
Yep.
And you know, I've known some racist people, but even them, when they, you know, like when you're at work or whatever, you speak, you know, you're polite. And you go home, they might talk all kinds of trash. While they're at work, they're polite.
And yes. And if anything, you're even more polite with people you don't like.
Yeah. I think, you know, some of the stereotypes of the South are true. I mean, I know plenty of people who, you know, camo is a major part of their wardrobe. but there are also some of the nicest people.
It's not bad.
There are also some of the nicest people, and I've also known some people that didn't have a high school education, and, you know, you talk to them, and they sound, you know, like the dumbest people. But if you need something fixed,
yeah,
they could take a baling wire, a piece of metal, and a welder, and, you know, get anything running.
That's right.
That's true.
Because they had to.
Yep.
They couldn't make it to the shop to get it fixed. They couldn't afford it. They had to figure out how to fix stuff themselves.
Yep.
Well, you know, that is a good point, that a lot of the stereotypes that people make about each other really are not a bad thing. I mean, having the majority of your wardrobe be camo is not a terrible thing. You know, it's not like you're, you know, kicking puppies and eating babies or anything. Who cares, right? And if it's true, who cares?
Most so-called rednecks around here are proud to be rednecks. They don't like, you know, be thought of like, you know, they're racist, but they're proud to be a redneck, you know. They don't like some of the more negative stereotypes associated with it, but they don't consider redneck an insult.
This is true.
Yeah. There's a reason you don't hear people talking about the R word like you hear the N word.
What's R?
Redneck.
Redneck? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really own the stereotype and the derogatory term, you're not afraid to use it.
Well, a lot of it depends on who's using it, you know, because I guarantee you when a Northeast liberal says redneck, they're not meaning it in a nice way.
No, they aren't.
You know, so.
I guess, it's like the N-word, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's right. You know, yeah. If the right people use it, it's okay. Hey, thanks for calling, Ben.
No problem. Talk to you later.
All right.
Good call.
Yeah, that is call. We're a little over time, but we got one more caller.
Okay.
This is from Cincinnati, Ohio, area code 513. Hello.
Yes, hello. Good evening, girl. This is Hayden.
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 Hello.
Hello.
So, one thing that I've received coming from England is people are always incredibly surprised that I learned how to drive on the other side of the road. They think it's been some sort of Herculean task, or that I'm, you know, some sort of Superman that I was able to master this.
Well, you know, there is a reason why all the side view mirrors are missing on rental cars in Ireland and Britain, right?
Yes.
Because all the tourists rent cars to drive around, and they get on the wrong side of the road, or the right side of the road, as it were, and they knock into the stone walls all the time. Yeah, it's completely a Herculean task. We salute you, Hayden.
It was interesting that when I bought a car here in America, it was the first time in my life that I'd ever driven a manual, an automatic gearbox. I'd always driven manual gearboxes. And I was quite pleased that I got an automatic gearbox. I realized that if I hadn't, I'd probably be trying to change gear all the time by slamming my left arm into the driver's door.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing.
Oh, gosh.
Right. Well, it's been a wonderful show. I have to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank
you.
Do
people assume other things about you being British?
I think one of the greatest differences. People always say, "Oh, what's the big difference about England and America?" And apart from the language, apart from the spellings, things like that being different. I think the greatest difference is portion size of a food. And here in America, even if you buy a salad at a restaurant, it's like you've been given the whole bag of salad. It's quite ridiculous in some way.
Nice.
That's so true.
Each person gets a salad that can feed four.
Yeah. Who can eat this much salad? That's hilarious.
It's so true.
It is true.
And then everybody wonders why people are so fat.
Well, I put on a bit of weight when I came here. I've been very lucky that I managed to. I've been lucky. I've been managed to lose a lot of the weight that I put on when I arrived originally. But I discovered all these new things that I'd never seen before in my whole life, like Taco Bell and Arby's.
And Brita, no bad British food jokes.
I'm not making British food jokes at all. I like a lot of British food. Mostly.
Mostly.
I don't know. I have trouble with spotted dick. I don't know. It comes in a can. It says spotted dick.
Okay. Well, then if you've got problems with spotted dick, then you don't want to be eating toad in the hole.
No, I don't eat that either.
I'll let you Google that. Toad in the hole. It's a classic British dish. And my wife absolutely adored it. But I'll let you research that, and then you'll realize just how lovely it is.
Actually, I probably would like toad in the hole because it involves sausage.
Yes.
So exactly. I would probably like it.
My favorite British food name is Bubble and Squeak.
Oh, yes.
I had black pudding this week. I mean, it's an Irish thing, but I had black pudding this week.
I love black pudding.
Did you buy it from that Irish store?
I did.
Yes. I was recommended that, and I went myself. It was an absolutely splendid place.
It's very good. They're a great little shop, so. Yeah.
Well.
Oh. Brilliant. Right. Well, I'm sure there must be other callers.
Actually, there are, and we're about out of time. So thank you so much for
calling.
Thanks,
Hayden.
You're welcome. And I'm looking forward to next week's show just as much as I enjoyed this week.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, Hayden, our favorite foreign caller, who's not really foreign, I guess, if he's here.
No, he's calling from Cincinnati.
Yeah. Hey, that's foreign.
Close enough.
It's foreign for me. So anyway, we're out of time.
Oh, okay.
And,
well, that was reasonably painful. Painless.
Yeah.
Painless.
That went, painful. Actually went a lot better than I expected. So
yeah, okay.
I was all like, ah, nobody's going to call in. We're going to sit there and stare at each other. And
terrible. So, but it worked out.
Yeah,
Thanks everybody for calling in.
And
I appreciated it. I won't scold you next week.
Yes. Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I will.
And the whole crew will be back next week. for episode 70.
Yeah.
The big 7-0. All right. Well, y'all have a good night, and see you next week.
Okay. Good night, Alan.
Good night.
Good night, Internet.